Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You got to tell it for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Woo! Don't do it without me. Come on, help me say it.
Yeah. Good evening. The first song you heard was Don't Do It Without Me by Bishop Paul Morton. And the second song you heard was Better by Hezekiah Walker. And I thank God for Jesus and Prophet Shirley Kane, founders in the Walk of Jesus Ministry, a ministry that helped the lost and the hopeless to find their way back to Jesus. And I am so delighted that you have joined me this evening, and I thank you all that's on the phone line, in the chat room, in any other way that you are listening and tuning in. I pray that your day was pleasant and blessed. And tonight we are going to fellowship with our Lord and Savior and be fed out, manna from heaven. And before we go on, I would like to encourage you all before I get into this word. And I just want to give God all the praises and the glory and the honor to God, who is the head of our life. And I just dare you to call on the name of Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our life. And he takes us just as we are. He embraces us in the deepest of sin. The God who do not judge us for who we are, but whose we are. Without him, we are nothing, but in him we have everything. The God who confirms that we are the head and not the tail. We are blessed coming in and blessed going out. He has commanded blessings on everything we do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just give God some praises. And I'm going to play two more songs, and then we're going to get into the word.
Thank you.
Well, I'm back. Those two songs that you heard, the first song was Need a Little More Jesus by Erica Campbell, and the second song was People Get Ready by Rance Allen. And we're ready to get into the Word, but before we get into the Word, I'd just like to have a small word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Father, I ask that you sit there and hear this message, that you would decrease me and increase you in this word. May your word penetrate our spirit and not our emotions. We counsel the devil plots and plans right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray that your word will go forth and penetrate our hearts, that we may examine our, change our attitude, that we not only be hearers but doers of the word of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen, amen. Our scripture reading is going to come from the book of Philippians, the first chapter, the 19th through the 26th verse. Now, I'm going to read you the scriptures, but I'm going to break each scripture down word by word. It says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will always have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body. Whether by life or by death, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. And may God give a blessing to the reading of that word. And what we're going to talk about tonight is how to live for our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know this is not a favorable thing that many people want to hear, because what it does, it convicts us if we are not in the right standing with our Lord Jesus Christ, if we are out of position as to who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. But I just want you to know, God has created each of us in a unique way. He carefully formed us in his own image. And you know, I'm so grateful that God gave me his breath of life and made me in his image. But see, God didn't stop there. He gave us all purpose. God created us to do a good work here on earth until Christ returns. And what Apostle Paul is telling us in this chapter, that we need to join together in Christian unity to get the word out. But instead, we are hindering the work because we're watching what others are doing, or we're looking for folks to make excuses why we can't do what we need to do. We are so busy backbiting, betraying, and gossiping about people, the same people that you are in their face every day. It's just drama on top of drama, and then we wonder why we are not further than where we need to be. How can you still say, I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind? How can you say you love the Lord, but you look for people to fall, and the devil makes sure that he helps us to accomplish that goal? See, God is looking for people who just want to love him and proclaim life in Christ. We need to be steadfast in the church, and we need to rejoice in the Lord always. We need to do everything by prayer and supplication and let our requests be known, that the peace of God surpass all understanding. In other words, we need to work the word. We need to be reminded of that word. As soon as that word is attached itself to us as a reminder, we're supposed to be able to line up according to the word. And see, verse 19 says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. We need to be ready to accept responsibility for our actions. We must repent. We must ask for forgiveness from God and be delivered from our sins. Then we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to walk uprightly before God. And I know all these things I'm saying is, many might say, well, that's a whole lot. In other words, you're telling us to be perfect. No, we will never be perfect. We all is a work in progress. But little by little, we should be able to sustain some of these things in our lives. It's a process. We need to be, I'm not saying that you need to be perfect, but you might possess the image of Christ. Because, see, we are joined hand with Jesus. Jesus was the light of the world, and we must also let our light shine so men can see our light. Therefore, we must be prayerful in our life that we don't yield to the things of the flesh. See, God is merciful, merciful. He is faithful. He's a loving God. Never think that God won't love you right where you are. He overlooks our imperfection. He uses to do a work in us to transform us into something more precious than man can ever comprehend. And if you have a situation that's keeping you in bondage and you cannot move, and I want you to understand, you cannot move forward in your life because 1 Peter 5 and 7 say, cast all your cares on Jesus, for he cares for you. You don't have to go through what you're going through. You're only going through it because you won't trust God enough to allow him to come in and help you to go through it. Verse 20 through 21. It says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And then verse 21 tells us to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, after God has transformed you and your thinking and you know who Christ is to you, it becomes easy to know who you are in Christ. You become a living sacrifice, and you are no longer dead to sin because now you live in Christ. Even after death, you will have eternal life in Christ. And then when we go on and look at verse 22, it says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Well, I want to tell you tonight, your flesh will lead you to destruction. You cannot let flesh dictate your life. Because Galatians 5 and 16 say, if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I know sometimes it's hard. I know temptation can come over us so hard till we can't resist it. We get blindsided. But I want you to understand, Your flesh has no fruits to bear for you, and God can't use us when we're in the flesh. So we have to make up our mind if we're going to be in a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that flesh can understand that you sold out for Jesus. No matter what tempts you, no matter what comes your way, and I want you to know anything that causes you to do something against the will of God is obeying the flesh. So you got to tell that flesh to die daily. You got to speak to that flesh, and you got to let that flesh know that it is not the ruler over your body. Romans 8, 1 through 2, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives the law, I'm sorry, who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, I want you to understand our flesh war against our spirit, especially when we are walking in the spirit. Because Matthew 13, 5 through 8, it talks about we cannot produce fruitful harvest on stony ground. Even if it come up, the sun would still and they would die. Because why? We don't have a strong foundation on which that the word of God is can stand on. Because I want you to understand that the word of God is a good ground to yield a crop. And then when we look at verse 23, it says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Sometimes we get sidetracked in doing the work of the Lord. And sometimes we have to stand firm on God's principles and not be so quick to react on our own standards. Because it's easy for us to think it's our way because it may entail a little more work that you may have to do. And sometimes we want to find the easiest way out. But I want to share this experience I encountered one day. There was this lady standing at a corner of a busy intersection. And I could have easily started judging who that lady was or what she was doing. We don't always know people's story, and some of us don't care to know people's story because it's not in the situation. But when I looked at that woman, I saw somebody's daughter, somebody's mother, somebody's grandmother, somebody's sister, and one of God's children. She may have made some mistakes in her life. She may have made some wrong decisions. But it does not matter because I could see the hurt and pain in that woman's eyes. And all of a sudden, the light turned red for a purpose. And I tell you, that was my opportunity to use what I had in me to pour into that sister. And I ministered to her. I spoke hope into her. I declared and decreed some things in her life. And it didn't matter if she was listening to every word I spoke over her or not, because God heard me. And he will honor every word I spoke into that woman's life. We got to not be too quick to judge people. We got to not be too quick to know what our tomorrow will be. We got to take the time to feel people's pain. And not that you can solve the problem, but you can intercede for that person. And I have had people to tell me over and over and over that the reason why I continue to get hurt because I put too much of myself in a person. Well, I can't change who I am. And I don't want no hatred in my life. I don't want no hatred in my spirit. I want to be able to love people, even if they've either done me wrong. Maybe for a little while I may hold a little disappointment in them. And maybe, you know, I might just bag and fall for them. But I always ask God to let me not build up no animosity in my heart. Because I'm going to tell you something. There was a time when I was like that, when I was younger and growing up. And it does affect your life. Can't move because all you're thinking about is what that person did to you. We can become confused as to what role we play in being a servant to others. And sometimes our emotions become overwhelmed, and we are overwhelmed with our own problems, and we can't seem to find our way. And trust me, Satan rejoices when we are in that state of mind. So we have to fight against our flesh. We have to fight against the wiles of the devil. We got to remember we are more than a conqueror. You must take authority and claim the victory over the devil. We must be a covering and intercessor for others. We must claim the liberty to release the captives free and set those that are in bondage free. See, when we follow God's word and we live by his word, then we are most likely to follow Christ and we are most likely to do it his way. So that's why we must be fruitful. We must be able to flourish. We must be in good health. We must enjoy the fruits of the earth that God has freely given us to enjoy here on this earth. God do not intend on us living a limited life. He says he give us freely all things to enjoy here on earth. So you got to kill that flesh daily. You got to ask the Lord to purge you. You got to cleanse. You got to be cleansed at the moment that the flesh arrives. because you will never give the enemy any opportunity. You never should give the enemy any opportunity to come in. I'm sorry, excuse me. I'm stumbling over my words, but it's okay. See, because you can demand that the devil leave the moment he enters. Because I want you to understand tonight, he has no dominion over your life unless you give him permission. And yes, he is real. Yes, he does exist. But then the word of God tells us how to protect ourselves from the enemy. That's why you got to know who you are. That's why you got to know who you choose to serve. Then when we look at verse 25, it says, convinced of this, I know I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Once you know who you are, nothing can persuade you. Romans 8 and 38 through 9, they say, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor the present nor the future nor any powers. And 39 say, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to understand God has eternal love, enduring love, unfailing love. You better know it and don't you ever forget it. Even when you're in your wilderness moment, you tell that situation that God is with you. And you tell that situation, you will not be cast down. You will not be defeated. You will not be removed from your godly principles that you stand on. Because I want to tell you tonight, if God be for you, then he is more than the whole world against you. You are more than a conqueror through him that loves us. 1 John 4 and 4 says, he is he. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Dear heart, you got to stand up against the wiles of the devil. And when you stand against the wiles of the devil, he will flee from you when you speak God's words against him. I want you to stay in Jesus, for he's the way, the truth, and the life. And you can continue to allow Jesus to pave the way. You can rejoice when trials come your way because you can be confident in knowing that Jesus has paved the way for you to be safe and secure. And sometimes we wonder, well, after we do all this here, God still loves us. He still looks out for us. Why? Because he loves us just that much. He has paved the way for us to be safe and secure. He's keeping us under his wings. He's our protection when we are in danger. He's our deliverer. He's our bread of life. He's our resurrection in life. He's our redeemer. He's our healer. He's our rewarder for all good deeds that you have rendered unto his name's sake. So tonight I want to tell you, press towards the goal and the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And while we are here on this earth, we need to make each day of our life count. And the devil hated when we are living a life of joy and confidence. He always managed to find someone to sin that louds up your day. When you're feeling real good about yourself and you already established you're not going to let anything disturb your peace of mind, we must never let our guards down. We must never get so comfortable with thinking that we got our day prayed up and covered in the blood of Jesus. We are always a candidate to be tested. And sometimes we are tested to see just how solid our breastplate of righteousness is. How our sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, our shoes of peace, and our carefully prayed prayer. We will be tested. Didn't the devil test God? He got thrown out of heaven, but he did test God. And according to how severe the testing is, it's easy to start feeling resentment against that person that the devil sent to you. Let me tell you a little bit about resentment. It's like a parasite. It feeds on you and it leaves you weakened by its presence. Its only purpose is to take you from your joy, your peace of mind, your assurance, and your planned day. But if you are armored up in the word of God, you can break free and shake that resentment off. There is simply no room in your life for that negative energy. You have to have a great day ahead of you, and you should be in control of how your day goes. Because if you let resentment get in the way, you will not reach your goal. The breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, and so on, will all be in vain. We sometimes challenge things in life that doesn't matter. But we need to focus on what will prosper us or what will benefit us. We got to stop fretting about what should have been and concentrate on what could be. Forgive, forget, and move on. Because having peace will keep you stable. Isaiah 26:3 says, "He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord, because he trusts in you." You can have peace in the midst of turmoil going on around you. Notice I said around you. Notice I didn't say going through it. Notice I say you can have peace in the midst of bad reports. You can have a bad report from the doctor. But I want you to know that it is God that has the last say. You can have peace when your family and friends turn their back on you and count you out. You can have peace when people talk about you and condemn you. Isaiah 32:17 say the work of the righteous will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. I want you to know the inner peace that will bring you calm confidence, settled assurance, abiding trust in God. I want you to know that inner peace is the sustainer, which will assure our wholeness steady in a turbulent world. I want you to know, even when people talk about you and misuse you, Proverbs 16:7, it says, "A man ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with him." There is a goal to reach, and we must make it to our heavenly home, a time of rest, a time of refreshing, no more sickness, no more pain, and live forever with our Heavenly Father and Jesus. We need to be friends with ourselves. We need to love who we are. Even if we have faults in ourselves, just make adjustments and move on to your destiny. Always be gentle and kind to ourselves, because you are unique and special in God's eyes. Man don't always bring you comfort when you need it. And I want you to know your best comfort is when you can depend on Jesus. I want you to learn to love everything about yourself. And please accept all of you. If you choose to live, then you need to really live life to the fullest. This world is not always favorable for all our needs, and we can't depend on it for our needs. So sometimes we have to take a stand on the promise of God, who is our provider. No matter how much grief or despair you are in, the world does not stop for your grief. Count your blessings each day, even if it doesn't seem like it's big enough to notice it. Count it anyway. Because if you can see the narrow road, you can see the wider road. Because happiness just don't happen. It's not naturally there. It takes you to make it happen. If you can be happy, you can make others happy. Happiness defeats sadness. Happiness defeats the devil. Happiness defeats miserable people. And I've had people to say this time and time again, ain't nobody on this earth happy. Only you can control when you're happy. And by controlling how other people will affect your emotions will determine your happiness. How you respond to them will determine your mood. You can be in control of your response to that person and not allow them to be in control of you. Expect more in life and abundance because you deserve every bit of it. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Come with the strength in you. Remember, you are wonderfully and uniquely made for a good purpose. That's why you are here on God's earth. And remember, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to know that you are God's child. Amen. Closing in prayer. Father, I thank you that your word went forth. I thank you that you reveal our hearts to ourselves. And Lord, before I go on in this prayer, I ask God if there is anyone that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that they will repent right now. I'm asking you to forgive them, that they will accept you into their lives, that you will create in them a renewed heart, soul, and mind. And I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us a new revelation of your word, the word that penetrated our hearts to a point we will rise each day to make it a conscious effort to make our time here on the earth a fruitful and a fulfilling day. Father, I ask that you give us guidance, give us discernment, give us revelation how to live each day by your instruction or assignment that you have given to us. You are our God, and we are the people, your pastor, and the sheep of your hand. Lord, you are our source, and in you do we place our trust. You give wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. As a prophet of God, I call the angels of rescue and the lives of my listeners right this moment. Lord, I ask under the sound of my voice that every person need be met. I declare and decree that every need, desire, unanswered prayer, whether it be finances, health, relationship, children, ministry, and businesses, answered by the authority and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, and I pray if any among us has any sickness, we call them healed. We're giving that sickness back to faith. Spirit, I pray your consuming fire cleansing is taking the place in the temple of our body, that yokes are broken and we are completely and totally healed in the name of the Father by Jehovah Rapha, the healer, that our body will return to normalcy, confirming to the pattern of perfection that you originally designed in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, and I pray for our country. I pray, God, for this new tax bill that they are trying to push through. Lord, if it's not in your will, Lord, don't let it happen. Father, and if it is in your will, God, let it work out for our good. Father, because I know, God, that you look out for us and you want us to succeed and to be able to make it in this world. Father, and I know that the rich and the famous gobbling up everything. Father, but I thank you, God, that you can turn, take them and make them give up the wealth to the poor. Because you say the wealth of the riches is lined up for the poor. Oh, Father, I know it's nothing too hard for you, and I know, God, that you are able to do it. Father, and I thank you, God, that you are going to rise up in this nation, God, and you're going to show yourself. You got to show yourself mighty and strong. Father, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, because you are precious. I am precious in your eyesight, and you are precious to me, God. And I give you all the glory and the honor. Praises go to you. Lord, I lift up this prayer to you. It's not a voided prayer. Thank you, Father. All you've done, all you're about to do. I thank you, Father, for this moment. Oh, God, praises unto you. Lord, as I exit this prayer line, as I exit this Bible study, I will never exit from you. For you I live, for you I die. Lord, I thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God for all of you that stayed and listening into this Bible study. I know it's kind of long, and, you know, people just want to hear a certain word that they're looking for, and then they are through. But, you know, we can't benefit in life if we don't get the whole thing what God is talking about. Because God don't talk in riddles. He don't talk in bits and pieces. When God is speaking, he has it all measured out what's to be said and what he wants us to know. So I thank those that stayed on and listened in to the word of God. And I appreciate you so very much. And I'm going to open up the phone line if anyone care to share something with us. We will be more than glad to hear what you got to say. The call-in number is 323-792-2979. And if you press 1, it will put you in queue, and I will bring you in. And I just thank God for whatever you feel obligated. You have nothing to say, that's fine, too. I'm just glad that you were blessed by this word. And I know you was blessed by the word, because if you wasn't, you would still be on the line. So I thank God for you. And no one's raising their hand. So I just want to speak blessings over you. I know Tuesday is the early part of the week, but I bless your week that it will turn out to be a good week, a blessed week, a prosperous week. And I know we still have a few days left before Christmas is coming up, but I know I won't be on the line before Christmas comes. So I just want to say Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. And those that will listen in archives later, I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and I want you to know that Jesus is the reason for the season. And I pray that you and your family will be able to come together and join in with one another and enjoy the festivities that's going on in your community or in your household. And I just pray that your week will be peaceful, that your week will be loving. And I pray that your day will be ordered where you can walk uprightly in him and be very, very satisfied, because we owe all the glory to him, because it's about pleasing God. It's not about pleasing man. But God will use us to help man to come to that point of not being hopeless or depressed or what have you. So this is the season of giving. And don't forget those that's less fortunate. And, you know, a lot of time we want to look at people and judge if, you know, if they're, if they really need their gift. But you can't just judge a book by its cover, because you don't know what's going on in that person's life. So if you can share anything, share, because this is the season of giving. You know, even when Jesus was born, the wise men, they came and they bare gifts and what have you. And so if you see someone in need, help them out, because it doesn't, because God will give it back to you. And it don't take anything to help people that's less fortunate. You know, the Bible say the poor is going to be among us, but that doesn't mean that we forget them. So I bless you on tonight, and I pray that you are blessed. And I'm going to play this song, and I'm going to sign out. As I play this song, I'm signing out. I'm Prophet Shirley Kane with Win the Walk to Jesus Ministry. And I just want to say good night to you. And may you come back again next Tuesday, right after Christmas, and join me again. Okay? All right. Be blessed and good night. And I love you, and ain't nothing wrong.
Might as well put your hands together.